Steve's a joke in the beginning.
That was awesome.
We got to go home and tell our family members that joke. If we can remember it. And it's very long. You heard it spelled Czechoslovakia. You get into heaven. Okay. A few days ago, I was in Hungary. I flew over there. Many of you know I lived there a number of years. And the churches have unity, a lot of joy, a lot of faith. We have in a few weeks, Eurocon, where about 1,400 people gather from about 50 different countries. And even people from India, Korea come, China. And we just worship Christ like we did here tonight. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Does that get you going?
Yeah.
Does that push your buttons or what? That song is awesome.
Yeah.
And there are many. There are many. Okay, so Pastor David and Marion Haynes are here. Right in the front, right? They came from... Where are you coming from?
Outside Savannah, Georgia.
Georgia.
Okay. Georgia.
All right. let's see, we got Eurocon, your mission. I was here a couple of years ago. I don't know, 3 years or 2 years?
Two
years ago. And I see you guys are taking over more territory.
Yes.
Amen.
So this realm.
We want this
realm.
One next.
Mike moved the water.
By himself.
Hercules is over.
He did.
Mike moved the water. Well, you're not done. We need another wall moved.
Yeah.
All right. Take the wall down. That's Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Take down this wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're having fun, okay?
Amen.
All right, we're going to have a message.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. Now, when I just feel that you might get more out of the message if when I ask you to talk to your neighbor, that you're going to be able to do that. So you might have to change seats. But look to your right or left and just say, hey, maybe we're going to say a few words to each other tonight. Let's start it off. How about this? Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Okay. It's a warm-up drill. Okay. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. God made us, and he made us so that we would be connected.
Yes.
We would be connected with God. And when we are connected with God, then we can also be connected with each other. And that connection is a very real, real thing. It's a fellowship. It happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, that God was with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had fellowship. Remember, Adam gave names to the animals. That's how smart he was. And it says there that the name that Adam gave was the name that God used for the animal. Isn't that cool?
Exactly.
Let me repeat it. When Adam gave a name to an elephant, said elephant. Okay? God called it elephant. God took the gift... And the ability that Adam had was honored by God. Isn't that good? That there's something about us that God enjoys. And of course, with the fall, and we lost God, God lost us. And then we've been living ever since without him, essentially. Apart, of course, through his grace to people in the Old Testament and through history. But the point is, there's really only two people in the world Are there only two different kinds of people in the world, right? Okay, ask your neighbor, who are they? Don't say you.
Saved and unsaved.
Yeah. Okay. Who are they?
Saved and unsaved.
Well, wait a minute. Listen. Okay. Of course, you could understand the question different ways, but this is what the first Adam and last Adam, right? That's from Romans 5. There's two. First Adam, the one in the garden who sinned, and the last Adam who was also in the garden but never sinned. Right? Tempted but never sinned. There's only two kinds of people. The kind that are here in the world as we see, human beings, the first Adam, and then there is Christ. Hallelujah. When God made us, he made us with the intention of us influencing God. God wanted us to influence him. When Adam gave names to the animals, the Lord said, okay, I'll take that. I respect you. I respect the way I made you. You're talking to me. I agree. It is elephant. But that man, Adam, the first one, sinned, was lost. And so God sent the real answer. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And when Jesus spoke, the Father listened. When Jesus lived here, it moved the heart of God. God respected him. Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I really get off on him. I really connect with him. He really is the one that I have so much pleasure in, because he is a righteous man, perfect in all his ways. He can move, and he moved the heart of God. This means a lot to us, because when we were born again, this is what happened. We were brought into this society, this fellowship of having influence, where Christ has influenced us, giving us the new birth, Christ being born in us, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and then us as a body influencing or affecting God, because we're connected. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Could you read that out loud with me one time? Ready?
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes.
Hold it. We're all clean in our own eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, we do something, you know. Mm-hmm. What? I did it. How about your mother says, clean your room? And you, like, move a bottle from here to there. Did you clean your room? Yes. What? I did it. What? Have you ever heard that? What I did, I paid my tax. What do you want? Hey, I mowed the lawn. What? Hey, what? How about it? We easily justify our action, but God goes deeper than our action, and he looks at our spirit, right? All right, try to explain that to your neighbor. Go ahead. You're speechless, I can tell.
Yeah, right. Oh, I see. What do you say?
Watch. I walk over here. I take your guitar. Okay? I walk back. Another man walks over here, takes guitar. Are they the same thing? Yes, the action is the same, but there's a difference that God sees the difference. God sees the motive. God sees more. He knows the spirit of a person. Let's give an example. We're very clever people. Say that to your neighbor. We're very clever people. Yeah, we know how to get away with things. We know how to deal with things. We know how to work the system. I say, what? I did what you wanted me to do. What? You know? Okay. But when you go further and you find motive, and this is a thing that we love about each other, because of our new birth, we have the Holy Spirit, and there's something about us that is pure and clean and simple. I'll give you an example of a lie. Somebody called me, you know, let's say a bill collector, and they left a voicemail on my phone. Well, what do? I don't listen to it. I don't listen to my voicemail. Why? Because then I can say I didn't get it. I didn't hear it.
There you go.
I didn't get it, right? The police call your house. I didn't know they called my house. I didn't know. Well, did you listen? Do you? No, I didn't listen. Why didn't you listen? Because I don't want to be responsible.
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
What does this mean? God has made you and I in such a deep, and it says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord is searching our hearts. And one of the things that He does when you are born again is that the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and you become somebody that is like honest or transparent or available or listening and receiving from God in a personal way. And then you're able to say, Lord, and the Lord is able to say our name. Example, Abraham. Abraham, what did Abraham say? Here I am. Noah, what did he say? Here am I. Samuel. Here am I, remember?
Yep.
Moses, here am I. But there have been people that God has called their name, but there's no answer. Why? They're not going to listen to their voicemail. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to run the risk. They don't want to live by faith. They don't want to believe that maybe God could come into their life. I was on an airplane one time, and I said to this man, I was talking to him about God, and he didn't believe. And I said, let me ask a question. If God was behind that curtain on the plane, behind that curtain, and He's there, and He says to you, would you come behind the curtain and meet God, would you go? He looks out the window, thinks about it, he goes, no. There you go. And thanks for being honest, I told you. I'm shocked if you're honest like that. Yeah. Okay. The first Adam is like that. He doesn't believe. Many times he doesn't want to believe. He doesn't have it in him. He lives his life easily without God in this way that we're explaining it. And he does the same thing as you. But it's like God can tell the difference between one person and another because He knows the spirit, the motivation, you know, the attitude, the content. And when the greatest thing that has ever happened in your life and mine is that we found that through Christ we are connected with God.
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
That's our treasure. Holy Spirit communion. Fellowship with God. And satisfies.
Yes.
Wow. Now, I'm a parent. I have 4 children, 7 grandchildren. I've seen my kids grow up. I'm going to have a daughter, 39 years old in a month. And, wow, I feel like, what? Whoa. Yeah. Slow down. Okay. But I've seen them go through things because they grew up in the church. And my faith, they can't just live in my faith. They have to find it on their own. And that connection is what satisfies us. Because it's amazing when I say elephant or crocodile, whatever you know. And when I say, and the Lord is saying, yep, that's the name of it. Yep, sure is. That's the name. I'm hearing you. I'm respecting you. You have power with me. And also, like he said to Jacob, you have power. Your name is Israel, for you have power with God and with men. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we? Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits. What spirit are we of? Well, Pastor Brunty mentioned a grace spirit.
Yeah.
Grace spirit. This is the spirit that you and I are of. And I want to tell a short story about the grace spirit. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. I got to his crocodile, a Hungarian, I don't remember. Yes. What? Crocodile.
Aww.
It is crocodile?
Crocodile.
Oh, crocodile. Okay. Okay. Crocodile. Yeah, what is elephant? Elephant.
Elephant.
Okay, I don't know where it's coming from. I mean, why I said it that way. Okay, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through to verse 16. Now, you can read this parable, you know, at your pleasure. You can read it now, but it's long, and I'm just going to tell you a story. And this is the parable. It goes like this. I lived in Hungary, and in a certain square, Moscow Tér, in Budapest, the Romanians would come. They were illegal. They were generally poor people. They would come to the square, and they would look for work. And Hungarians that were building houses or renovating or whatever, they would go to the square. They would take in the morning a Romanian worker, 2 or 3, come back at noon, pick up another one or another, you know. Then again, and I'm making this part up, I don't really know, but you could imagine somebody coming back at 3 in the afternoon, picking up some more workers, and then lastly, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, picking up another worker. And at the end of the day, which ends at 6 o'clock in the story, at 6 o'clock they get paid. And the last guy that got paid, who got picked up at 5, he went to the working spot, he had a cup of coffee, he moved a rake or a shovel around, he did one or two little things, and then he gets paid the same as everybody else who worked all day or part of the day, right?
Yes.
That's what Jesus said regarding the kingdom of God. And that we are people that have received something we don't deserve.
Yes.
The grace of God. Somebody works all day long and they get paid the same. Somebody works a little bit and they get paid. Can you think of an illustration of somebody who comes into this life and it's a cakewalk and their life practically is very simple and they are blessed in so many ways? That's called common grace. Ecclesiastes talks about a man who has 100 children. Psalm 73 talks about wicked people that are blessed abundantly and prosper very much, and how godly people can be jealous of them because in this life they have received so much. That's called common grace. For a believer to think about it, that somebody who has murdered, you know, one person said to me, will murderers be in heaven? And you know the answer? Yes, forgiven murderers. And he said, I don't want to go there. And we said, you know, you have a choice. You can go to heaven and be with murderers in heaven, or go to hell and be with murderers in hell. Wherever you go, you're going to be with them. Yeah. Which one do you want? The forgiven ones? The ones that are not forgiven? Yeah. Which one? You see, life is something unique. This life is supposed to be different. It's actually, in a sense, extraordinary. The life that you and I have been born into. We've been born again into a kingdom that is very, very special and unique. Pastor Brunty talked about the look, right? Mm-hmm. The look. I didn't really understand exactly what you meant. What did you mean by that?
It's our body language, and whether we're for real or not,
yeah.
or how we really feel, even though we might not be acting.
But, I mean, is it a good thing or a bad thing, or it could be either one?
It could be either way.
Either one, okay. Listen, when in the face of God, this is the thing about in the scripture, pene, the Greek Hebrew word for face, the faces of God is a part of our new life. We are able to see the face of God. This is Psalm 27. The face of God. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 18, we are changed from glory to glory, beholding as in a mirror the face of Jesus Christ. We are changed. Listen, I have a face, but I kind of feel I have a face behind my face. My real face, you know. I have a face, but there's a spiritual connection with God. And when we see Him, we are like Him. We have a connection with God. And it says Moses was with God face to face, and his face was shining because he beheld the glory of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, he guides us with his eye, Psalm 32. Any of you, like when you're a teenager, you come home for dinner and you get in trouble and your dad looks at you? And, you know, your dad gives, like Pastor gives, is it Jake?
Yeah.
Jake, he gives you the hairy eyeball. He looks at you. How many times did that happen? I don't know. Hey, too many. Hey, you know, it's awesome. Give these guys a hand. Look at the courage they got to come into here. Come into this room. That's good.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Not with a horse is led with a bridle and a bit in the mouth. You know, the mouth is like sensitive on a horse. 1,000-pound animal and is pulled around by the mouth. But it says we are guided by an eye. The face of God. We are actually in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us can be grieved, and then we are grieved because the Holy Spirit is grieved, and we can sense this. We also can sense when we're hungry, and sometimes we sense when we are anointed. I had a time recently, I don't know where I was, but I could just feel before the meeting, I could feel the anointing of God. And when I went to the meeting, I didn't know what God wanted to say at the meeting, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was moving in me. And this is the ministry of life. This is why our way of ministering isn't like a mechanical, like pre-programmed kind of, you know, sterile, right, correct style. But we are simply, we ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and lead us deeply in our hearts with God. Isn't that good? And that's why the work here in Miami is important, because it really changes the lives of people. Because everything in the eyes of men, they may be like it's right and they're clean in their own eyes, but the Lord is saying, wait a minute, let me check the deeper part of you, where you're really living. If you are spirit-filled, then you will walk to the guitar, and it'll be different from another guy that walks to the guitar. You know, when you pray, even prayer can be mechanical, religious duty, obligation, and that's okay if that's the best I can do. But on the other hand, like, I would get tired of it very quickly. And the ministry, which I've seen it, I've been more than 40 years in the work, and I'm so refreshed. I'm so encouraged. I'm so blessed by people like you. Guys, you pray for me, and also we see it the same way. We say, we are hungry. We want God to be with us, the last Adam, that we are born of him, and he has respect for us as we are here on the earth. He respects our prayers. He answers them. He respects our attitude to the eye when he looks at us. We love him, and he loves us, and we have fellowship with God. When we mess up, we say, okay, I messed up. You know, that's what else is, you know, that's okay. But the Lord, it's Proverbs 16, listen, it says, righteous man falls 7 times and gets up. I had a man call me up on the phone. He said, Pastor Shella, he's a truck driver, and we just talked. He said, I've only fallen 3 times. I said, well, you got righteous man falls 7. Get back out there. Yeah, 4 more to go. Okay, 7 times, they fall 7 times, but get up. And what does the other one do? The wicked, what do they do? It says they fall into mischief. That's different from just falling down and staying down. It's getting into a swamp, that's what it is. And down in Florida, you know where a swamp is.
Yep.
Okay. Right. The ungodly man falls down, and it's not over. It gets worse. And he goes on. It's like a guy in Maryland driving to New York, and he sees a sign for North Carolina. He went the wrong way. He goes, well, I went the wrong way. I might as well keep going down to Florida. I thought you were going to New York. Yeah, I was. Now I'm going down there. Now, what would you do? Stop. Turn around. Do the right thing. Right? Yeah. Just do the right thing. Just keep doing the right thing. Go back and start over. Trust God, and God will lead you and guide you, redeem the time, take care of you, teach you, and instruct you. That's the way to live. And the basis of this new life is grace. It really is. You don't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's connection. Grace connects you. I turn to one other portion. It's Luke 15. You know the story of the prodigal son. Okay. Two boys. Jake, is it Jake in the back there? Jack, you got a brother?
Yeah,
two. Which are two brothers? What are their names?
Josh and Jesse.
Josh and Jesse. Jesse, Josh. Jesse, okay. I didn't want to ask you which one is the worst of the whole gang, the three. You're all angels. Let me get that verified from mom and dad. Yeah, really. So these two boys living in the house, isn't it amazing that you have a dad has two sons? Now, anybody here ever raised teenagers? Ever raised teenagers? Okay. Let's all have a moment of silence. Have you ever been with a teenager, you know, and you're eating your Cheerios at breakfast, you look at across the table and you wonder, who is that person? What happened to them?
Yeah.
Or who are they?
Yeah.
And son, you get the feeling like, I don't know if we are connected. I don't know if we're related. I don't know what happened, but something happened in the night. Somebody stole my child. The Antichrist moved into the bedroom. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, that's the way it's... Okay. Jesus told a parable about it. You know, was he smart or what? Did the Lord know what's going on or what? In the story, there was a man who had two sons, and neither son really knew the father. You know? The bad one didn't know the father, and the good one didn't know the father. And that's what I mean about connection. You know, isn't it amazing that we could be in this room? You hardly know me, and I hardly know you, but at the end of this meeting, somehow we sense, we know each other, that we have a connection, like Jonathan and David, that when Jonathan heard David talked to Saul, it says his heart, soul, was knit together with David. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, you could go to another country and share the message. I was in Russia one time on a Thursday night, preached a message. Friday night, the next night, this man came back and he told me the story. He said, you know why I came back tonight? I go, no, why? He said, it was so amazing last night. I had to come again. It was so amazing. I couldn't sleep last night. So I was just laying in bed with joy after the meeting. I just went home and I just had so much. Jesus was so real to me. So I got up and I ate out of the refrigerator and I went back to bed and tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep. So I got back and went back to the refrigerator. And I went back to bed. And in the morning, my wife was angry with me because I had eaten everything out of the refrigerator. And it's because of you. No, it's like, so, you know, this is quite remarkable. That you and I have been born into this kingdom. And even doing every, you know, man is doing everything clean in his own eyes, but God has given us another spirit, and this has caught his attention, humanly speaking, we could say it like that. That has caught his interest and his attention, because it is Christ dwelling in us. And now we have this ministry that is on the earth that is very powerful. It's a ministry of connection. People are hungry for connection. How many lonely people are there? How many people are waiting just to, they get old and they're just waiting to die without any hope? How many people are just wandering around, maybe taking drugs or hanging out or just running around and looking and searching, and they're just saying in their hearts, is there anything real that'll never pass away? Have I made for something that is eternal? Is God real? Can I find it not only once in a while, but can I actually find it as a way of life? That we live to the glory of God. That we are guided not with a bridle that's put in there, yanked around in this world, but with something more delicate, the eye. And when God looks at you and you find favor with Him, that satisfies us very deeply. I have a friend who grew up in a Christian home, Christian church, and she's gone off, kind of, you know, she's like just exploring and running around, and she's saying, you know, like, I went there, I went on a vacation there, or we did this, or, you know, on Facebook, right, you know, pictures of the lunch. You know, like I've never seen a lunch before. But pictures of, you know, a lunch is like, wow, you know, pictures of, you know, and it's like, are you satisfied? But it's more of the same, you know. It's like a yearning for significance. Have you ever seen along the highway, high up on the on a rocky, a boulder along the highway, you know, Nick loves Debbie. You know. And, you know, whoever did that must have thought that was, like, very important to do. And they're hanging, you know, and they, how many want a brick in the center of the town with your name on it? You know, a brick, right? Okay. What are all these messages? Like, could you remember me? Mm-hmm. Is my name important? What's my purpose? You know, could I find it? And we're saying tonight is, we got it.
Yes.
And it didn't come from us. It came by grace,
yes,
through Jesus Christ. And when you feel it in your heart, it's amazing. When I say, Elephant, heaven listens and says, Elephant it is. Yeah. It's not spray painted on a bridge. You see, it's a valuable thing. It is eternal, that your life affects eternity, that your life affects the heart of God, that our life has some value beyond flesh and blood, that we are of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That our love actually means something. Our prayers move mountains. Our lives are valuable. Every life, every one of us, this is amazing. Jesus Christ came so that our lives would have this value.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Mm. Amazing.
Yes.
So, in this parable, the prodigal son, there's just a few points. Number one, the sons didn't know the dad. Number two, the bad son, let's just say Jake for the sake of, you know, it's for the sake of the meeting tonight. And if he wasn't here and Jesse was here, we'd say Jesse.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we're not picking on him, but however, we are. Okay, so number two, that Jesse found connection with his dad. And there was party time. It was party time. My father said, my son was dead, in verse 24, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. And they began to be married. There's one thing about the Spirit of God and grace It's party time. It is party time. Enjoy the party.
Yes.
Receive the grace, grow in the grace, and share the grace, and learn how to minister grace to each other. Mm. How many of you are married? How many of you give grace to your husband or your spouse? Half the people that raise the hands. Half of them that raise the hands. Okay. How many of you, have you ever, I shared this with my, sometimes the tension between my wife and I just kind of makes somehow something happens, and then when I speak, a frog comes out of my mouth. Right? Just a frog comes out. It's like, whoop.
Yeah, right.
Where'd that come from? A frog.
And yeah, right.
Why do I say it? Because in the book of Revelation, there are frogs that came out of the mouths of the kings. And they were demons.
Oh, yeah.
And in the place of Egypt, God filled Egypt with frogs. In my house, I've been so filled with frogs. They were in the bathroom. They were in the cellar. They were in the kitchen. Why? Because I was talking. I was talking. And frogs were everywhere. Yeah. This is confession. Let's have a moment of silence. Hey, I don't think I'm alone. I think it happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And somehow we say the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
The wrong tone of voice. One woman called me up and she was angry, and we were talking for a little bit. And then she said that Pastor Scheller yelled at me. So then I asked a fellow pastor some many months later, I go, let me tell you the story. This woman talked to me and everything. I was talking back to her, and then she said, I yelled at her. And Pastor David Moore, I was talking to David Moore, and he said, well, you probably did. And I go, I didn't. I didn't yell at her. He goes, no, a woman's ear is different. After her ear, you yelled at her. Huh? Hey, the guys, what do you think? Give me a high five, huh? Yeah, hey, yeah. Okay, say to your neighbor, I think he's right. I'm not sure, though. Say to your neighbor. Yeah, it's okay. All right, so let's go to the point. I do mess up. But if I can learn this lesson of that parable where the Romanian worker received the same amount of money as everybody else and enjoy it, you know, enjoy grace. Enjoy the fact you got a free ride. Enjoy the fact that God has forgiven you of your sin. Enjoy it. Don't be legalistic. Don't be judgmental. And don't be hard on yourself. And don't be hard on your wife. And don't fill your house with frogs. Learn something else. Minister grace. Learn to give grace. And take a hit. And take the loss.
Yes.
And learn to give grace and love. That's a different spirit. The spirit of grace, Zechariah 4:7. The spirit of grace in the church. The spirit of grace in a family. A spirit of grace raising children. When I was angry at my children, I would wait 24 hours or 48 hours or a week or a month. Or in one period with my wife, I said, Lee, they're 16 and 15 years old right now. We're not going to fight a battle. We want to win the war. And she said, well, what's winning the war? I go, it's when they're 22 and we can sit at a table and they want to be with us and we can talk about Christ and we can love each other. If that happens, then we've won the war. When they're 16, we might lose some battles, but we're not going to give up because we're going to win the war. We're going to take our time and learn to love, learn to give grace, learn to pray, and learn to invest. Because this is something powerful You and I have something. We all have something precious, extraordinary, beautiful, and powerful. God in heaven pays attention to us. He does. Because he's given us his son.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Woo!